Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
And if you missed our earlier program this week, you've got to be able to understand, because it's a tragedy what's taking place in the sex trafficking today of children, like 5 years old, 8 years old. As I talked about in an earlier program, Agape International Ministries and ministries like that, Exodus Cry, but Agape is right in the heart of Cambodia, you know, meeting these needs. It's an amazing thing that they're doing. And it's not just telling me I can't do this anymore. If my whole environment and three generations brought me into this, you're going to have to teach me the ways of God and teach me life skills. And that's what they're doing and giving value to these young girls. And you can find out more by going to VFNTV.com, click on the links, and or go to the VFN Torch and look for the story that was done on the Pink Room, understanding how Cambodia got that way. So listen, man, I was coming out of a church gathering, actually. And I was listening to a father and his son. They were talking. And the son is in Coast Guard or something like that, you know, Coast Guard. And so the father, you know, is talking to his son, and he says, "Hey, son, if the government told you to come to your father's house and force them out of their house or something like that, you know, would you do it?" And he's like, "No, he didn't hesitate. Yeah, I'd do it. I'd do it." Wow. And there's this mindset, you know, and if you've listened to the earlier program talking about Cambodia and Vietnam and all that, the soldiers that fought in Vietnam, brave soldiers that fought for the cause. But the leaders that sent them there, their mindset's like, what was in your mind when you're actually doing what you were doing? And so they were following orders. They were following the orders that what they were told. If you talk to a soldier, they're going to tell you this is the reports were that in Vietnam. They're going like, we didn't know what we're going to do from day to day. They would actually have them fight on the lines for 30 days. I mean, 30 days on the battlefield in firing your guns. This is unheard of.
Wow.
Out of 365 days, 1 year of battle in, I think World War II, something like that, that the soldier would see 10 days of battle. That's what they rotate them, I guess. Put them on the battlefield. An infantry person would see like 10. But in Vietnam, they would saw like 240 something days of battle. So they would send the soldier to battle for 30 days, and they would take him to this, you know, the Eagles Beach, and it had beach and alcohol, and they would basically just let, you know, all kinds of things were happening there, and they would just dive into this party for 2 days. They'd eat steak and swim, and there was girls there, and then they would take them for another 30 days back to battle again. Mm. This is what we did to our men and women, and it's like, World War II, I think it was they only saw 10 out of 12 months of battle. They only saw 10 days on the front lines of the infantry. I didn't even know that. I thought it was just continual.
Wow.
But compared to Vietnam, which was just really, really rough. But you just follow, when you're in the military, you just follow orders. I mean, you can't, you know. And so they said, this is what they said, when you're hearing the men who fought it, they say, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know what we would do the next day. But they would just take us, they would drop us, and they'd say, take Hill 675 or 321. You know, they had names for the different whatever. And they would just give their lives and their health to just take this hill. But that happens because one thing you think about, because you just want to, you know, some people just automatically go, you know, these Nazis, how in the world could these Nazis take citizens, Christians and Jews and the people who they didn't think that should be in society, and can take everything from them and take them to uh, the ghetto type. I forgot the name of the place that they would take them to. And then
gas chambers.
Well, no. Then they would take them to the camps, and then they would take them, kill them, mass killings, and gas chambers. And so how? Because the assumption was, and I mean, men are ultimately evil outside of God. We all are. Mm-hmm. So you can't say that you're good and someone else is evil outside of that. It's one guy said once. He says it's in all of us to do anything.
That's right.
Yeah, outside of God. But the key is you just got to be willing to die than to do that. That's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the key. If you're willing to die and to lose and to be left mm-hmm. out or you to be follow them or that person, that you're okay. But if you're not willing to lose something, you're going to be in that boat. And so they began to study. It began a particular study saying, you know, what was in these people's mind? And so why not just look at Americans? Why not look at Americans in authority? Because when you look at how many people, they do experiments, you know, in regards to standing on a sidewalk and somebody stands there with a sign that says, you know, men on this side and women on that side. And just because that sign's there, people just automatically really ponder. They go, they just do it. Mm-hmm. If you walk in if you walk in authority, you can walk into a place and people, you can walk into a grocery store and start saying, you know, put those cans on the shelf over here and slide that. People will just start putting cans on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And you know, did you pay for that? You know, like, it's like, you know, they get offended. It's like, I don't work here. I'm just playing around, you know? And because when people hear authority, it's just something that, I mean, even the demons said about Jesus, right? They said, mm-hmm. who is this that speaks with such authority? So there's something about authority. But we have to be real careful. All authority that is established by God in, you know, in certain places, you know, is established by God. But the devil has powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness that he establishes and does things evil. God doesn't do evil. And, you know, with that, we have to be careful. It's like, my goodness, if God says, you know, don't do something, and a person in authority tells you to do it, what happened with the disciples when they were preaching, remember, they said, you know, we're going to let you go because we're losing the vote here with the people. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a political thing. But do not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Do not, you know, the entire synergy of your message, don't bring it in. You know, talk about God. No, don't, you know, talk about, you know, the man upstairs, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but they said, don't use the name of Jesus anymore. They said, listen, you know, may God, you know, judge between us, but I've got to talk about Jesus. I've got to do this. They had to make a decision at that point that, okay, these guys are an authority. And even Jesus said, you know, do what they say, but don't do what they do. But at this point, now you have an encounter where they're telling them, do not bring Jesus up anymore. So the very Jesus that said, when he's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, you know, do what they do, but don't do what they do, what they say, don't do what they do, because they weren't practicing what they were preaching. That's what he was saying, but they were preaching the word of God. Well, these guys were moving outside of the God when they said, don't bring up Jesus anymore. And so that was an encounter right there. So you have to make a choice at that point. Am I going to lose my job? Am I willing to lose my job so I can still bring up Jesus? You know, not weird way, but just, you know, celebrate who you are in Christ. And so following orders, so they did an experiment, and this is so important. I believe it's back in the 60s, and about shocking, sending electrical shocks to an American, and another American was doing it, and another American was the one leading it, and they were just telling them, this is what you need to do. And this is an old video. They don't do this anymore, obviously, but is used continually in studies about behavior and authority. And I was just doing what I was ordered, because what they found out through this, that what the, how people justify evil behavior, how people justify disobeying God, is they say, they don't think that God's going to hold them personally accountable. They go, well, my boss told me that I had to work on that day. You know, my boss, you know, told me this, or so-and-so did that, or, you know, I wouldn't have done that, you know, in Vietnam, but, you know, my captain told me to do it, you know. I mean, we just start deflecting, you know, wives. There's a lot of wives that I've heard over the years that say, you know, well, that's what my husband told me to do. And she's knowing that that was evil. She did it, and she don't understand that you're going to stand before God and answer for that's the right. evil that you did, because you're personally, you can't just say you're following the Lord. You got to see this when you get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a Christian, we'd like a minute of your time. We all see things are going from bad to worse in our nation and abroad. Christians are being beheaded in the Middle East. Israel is being attacked from all sides. And back home, many of our religious freedoms are under severe legal restrictions. The Lord asks us in Psalm 94:16, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers?" Throughout our nation's history, the church has been a force for good in America and abroad. It's time for the church to rise up and bring the gospel and biblical values back into every aspect of American life. We have the numbers and we have a voice. Let's use it. A new coalition has been formed by a large group of Christian organizations and ministries with a shared purpose: to mobilize Christians to rise up and make their voices heard in the public square and in the voting booth. On October 12th, we start the campaign with I Pledge Sunday 2014, The Rise of the Church, a nationwide rally via webcast, available online or at a church near you. We encourage all Christians, church leaders, and ministry leaders to go to iPledgeSunday2014.com and sign up to participate in our October 12th kickoff webcast, and then actively work to bring God back to the forefront in our nation. Together, we can change the future of America. iPledgeSunday2014.com.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Former NFL coach Tony Dungy shares with Focus president Jim Daly about an important principle of a committed, loving relationship.
Tony, something you have said the whole time that I have heard you on this program, it's laying your life down.
Yeah, Christ gave himself for the church. That was his whole mission, to make the church perfect. And so that's really our job as men. We don't always see it that way. I'm there to help my wife be the best that she can be. And if I look at it that way, that's going to solve a lot of things in finances, in children, in parenting, in sexuality. I have to understand that. And that's not the way we look at it. But that's Christian marriage, Christian principles.
Tony Dungy offers more powerful perspectives about strengthening your marriage today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
So witnesses, can you imagine saying, I like to call witness Christian so-and-so to the stand. And all of a sudden, all these, you know, spiritual forensic people come up and begin trying to give evidentiary evidence about you. And they're going like, you know, there's not much different than the agnostic up the street. And I did see every other week they do go to a place for 45 minutes. But when they leave there, they're no different than they went in. And when I talk to them, I don't feel anything any different. You know, I mean, when the Ford dealer talks to me, I want to get a Ford for some reason. But when they talk to me about God, I don't want anything to do with God when they talk to me. Why does the Ford man, when he talks to me about getting a Ford vehicle, I actually got to get in a Ford because he believes that a Ford is the best car. But when you talk to me about Jesus, I don't feel anything in my life. That's pretty sad when a car dealer can draw you more than somebody who professes to be a Christian.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Stanley Milgram. He is a social, was a social psychologist who did an experiment, and it's called the Milgram test. And he was testing the theory about authority, because his question was, he was wondering, how could Nazi Germany, how could these soldiers, you can understand, okay, you got Hitler, you know, if you heard about earlier programs, you got Pol Pot, and you got these ones that are doing this evil stuff, but how does a whole people, mm-hmm. or a large group of people, enter into such, you know, evil behaviors? Is how could you participate with that? And so he did a study, and here's the study right here. Matter of fact, take a look. It's an older film, but they don't do this anymore because they don't allow, I guess you got to put a seatbelt on to be able to do something like this. Mm-hmm. But watch what happens. You can learn so much. They actually play this every year at Yale and Harvard to be able to understand human behavior with authority. And like that young man said to his father, I would just follow orders and take you out. Watch this.
In a unique period from the early 60s to the early 70s, a group of social scientists conducted a series of experiments examining the nature of human behavior and its relationship to social conventions and situations.
In this setting, I allow things to be done to me that I wouldn't allow in any other context. The dentist is about to put an electric drill into my mouth. In this setting, I willingly expose my throat to a man with a razor blade.
Stanley Milgram, one of the most influential social psychologists of the time, was particularly fascinated with the dangers of group behavior and blind obedience to authority.
What is there in human nature that allows an individual to act without any restraints whatsoever, so that he can act inhumanely, harshly, severely, and in no way limited by feelings of compassion or conscience? These are questions.
But he might be dead in there.
The experiment requires that you continue teaching.
330 volts.
The experiments that Milgram and others conducted were controversial. And, for ethical reasons, may never be conducted again. Yet, the results of those experiments remain groundbreaking, profoundly revealing about the tensions between the individual and society, and increasingly relevant to contemporary life. In 1962, Stanley Milgram shocked the world with his study on obedience. To test his theories, he invented an experiment that would become a window into human cruelty. In ascending order, a row of buttons marked the amount of voltage one person would inflict upon another. Milgram's original motive for the experiment was to understand the unthinkable. How the German people could permit the extermination of the Jews.
When I learn of incidents such as the massacre of millions of men, women, and children perpetrated by the Nazis in World War II, how is it possible, I ask myself, that ordinary people, who are courteous and decent in everyday life, can act callously, inhumanely, without any limitations of conscience? Now, there are some studies in my discipline, social psychology, that seem to provide a clue to this question. The problem I wanted to study was a little different. I went a little bit further. It was the issue of authority. Under what conditions would a person obey authority who commanded actions that went against conscience? These are exactly the questions that I wanted to investigate at Yale University.
It is May 1962. An experiment is being conducted in the Elegant Interaction Laboratory at Yale University. The subjects are 40 males between the ages of 20 and 50 residing in the greater New Haven area.
Psychologists have developed several theories to explain how people learn. One theory is that people learn things correctly whenever they get punished for making a mistake.
40 years later, Milgram's infamous experiment, Obedience, is still taught in classrooms around the world.
Would you open those and tell me which of you is which, please?
Teacher.
All right, now the next thing we'll have to do is set the learner up so that he can get some sort of punishment.
What inspired Milgram, I would say there were a number of factors. One of them is he was very ambitious. He wanted to make a mark in social psychology. And he wanted, as he wrote to one friend, he wanted to come up with the boldest experiment that he could think of.
Would you roll up your right sleeve, please? This electrode is connected to the shock generator in the next room. And this electrode paste is to provide a good contact to avoid any blister or burn. Do you have any questions now before we go into the next room?
About 2 years ago, I was in the Veterans Hospital in West Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, they detected a heart condition. There's nothing serious, but as long as I'm having these shocks, how strong are they? How dangerous are they?
Well, no. Although they may be painful, they're not dangerous. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, teacher, would you take the test and be seated in front of the shock generator, please, in the next room?
But the experiment was rigged.
The victim was an accomplice of the experiment. The victim, according to plan, provided many wrong answers. His verbal responses were standardized on tape, and each protest was coordinated to a particular voltage level on the shock generator.
Now, as teacher, you are seated in front of this impressive-looking instrument, the shock generator. Its essential feature is a line of switches that goes from 15 volts to 450 volts, and a set of verbal designations that goes from slight shock to moderate shock, strong shock, very strong shock, intense shock, extreme intensity shock, and finally XXX, danger severe shock. Your job, the experimenter explains to you, is a word pair test. If he gets each answer correctly, fine, you move on to the next pair. But if he makes a mistake, you are instructed to give an electric shock, starting with 15 volts, and you increase the shock one step on each error.
Incorrect. You'll now get a shock of 105. Hard hit. Just how far can you go in this thing?
As far as is necessary.
What do you mean as far as is necessary?
Milgram was very much aware that obedience is a necessary ingredient for society to function. But he focused on the darker side of obedience.
Incorrect. 150 volts. Sad face.
Wait a minute. That's all. Get me out of here. I told you I had heart trouble. My heart's starting to bother me now.
It's absolutely essential that you continue. You have no other choice, teacher.
Oh, I have a lot of choices. My number one choice is that I wouldn't go on if I thought he was being harmed.
Now, this man makes disobedience seem a very rational and simple deed. Now, other subjects respond quite differently to the experimenter's authority.
Wrong. It's hair. 75 volts, Jim. Please continue.
Some psychologists were troubled by the ethics of it. Many, if not most, subjects found it a highly stressful, conflicted experience. People are stammering, stuttering, laughing hysterically and appropriately.
150 volts.
Experiment.
That's all.
Get me out of here. I said my heart's starting to bother me now. Get me out of here, please. Let me out of here. You have no right to keep me here. Let me out. Let me out of here. Let me out.
Continue,
please.
Let me out of here.
Go on. Clearly, you know, when we say people went to the top of the shock board, it wasn't like they were going blithely, sadistically. People went stop and go, stop and go. They were in a state of conflict, which was created a tremendous amount of stress. So that was the main critique.
This will be at 3:30.
As his voice began to show increasing frustration, so did I. And I was really in a state of real conflict and agitation. One of Stanley Milgram's basic contributions was that you don't ask people what they would do given this hypothetical situation. You put them in the situation.
Wrong.
I want the 180 volts. Please continue, teacher.
180 volts.
I'm not
going to
kill that man.
According to Milgram, one of the things that's a prerequisite for carrying out acts that are evil is to shed responsibility from your shoulders and hand it over to the person in charge.
Let me
mean, who's going to take the responsibility if anything happens to that gentleman?
I'm responsible for anything that happens here. Continue, please.
Next one, slow.
He didn't hold any gun to anybody's head. Just the fact that he conveyed a sense of authority. Roughly 60-65% of the people went all the way to the top of the shock board.
450 volts. That's it.
Now continue using the last switch on the board, please. The 450 switch for each wrong answer. Continue, please.
I'm not getting no answer. Don't demands help mean anything?
Whether the learner likes it or not,
but he might be dead in there.
Milgram made the point, I think, very effectively, that the Nazis weren't all a bunch of psychopaths at Belsen and Dachau. Half a death camp from the middle class in New Haven.
Well, who was actually pushing the switch?
I was. But he kept insisting. I told him no, but he said he'd got to keep going.
What kind of obedience would Milgram guess today if he were to do the experiment today?
Probably about the same.
Probably about the same. Why?
I don't know. I think people are just inherently obedient.
It just really shows like how far human beings will go to appease what they perceive to be an authority figure.
Milgram has identified one of the constants, one of the universals of social behavior. The readiness to obey authority cuts across time. It's a constant. The other outstanding and distinctive thing about the obedience experiment is how much it has and keeps on permeating contemporary culture and thought. It's still with us in very, very important ways.
60-65%. They thought, I believe it was 0.1% prior to it that would actually go all the way through it, with it. But they found 6 to 6.5 out of every 10 would go ahead and put the extreme electrical shock on their perception on someone. But how many people today do you see that just say they're just following orders?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even God says, this is what the man said that was one of the students. He says, what he did was he did not ask people. He just put them in the situation and he told them. And when people are doing that to you, that's why you have to abide with God. And we're going to talk about this when we get back. You have to have God's word inside of you. When people like this, like the Pol Pots and these Hitlers and these evil people with evil intention start coming against you like that, your spirit man's going to just automatically. They said, you know, what causes people to go against their conscience? As believers, you would say, what caused you to go against what God's will is? Mm-hmm. What caused you to do that? And when there's no word in you, there's no scripture in you, you're walking and learning how to hear the voice of God, you're left to yourself. And it looks like 60% would have actually said, in Germany, I'm just following Hitler's orders. I'm in the military here, and I'm just taking the Jewish hill, the Christian hill. We're putting them out here in this camp versus saying, you know what? This is not right. You don't treat people like this. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer,
I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so, just following orders. I mean, how many people say, I'm just doing what my boss told me to do, honey? It's, you know, your family's falling apart. Mm. Or, you know, I'm just doing what my husband told me to do. Or I'm doing what my parents told me to do, which is immoral or something wrong. Or I'm doing what my kids want me to do, knowing that God didn't tell you to follow your kids. God told your kids to follow you. Or I'm just doing, you know, this whole thing. Once we say I'm just following orders, it deflects from the fact that does that mean I don't stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Am I not going to stand before God and answer for what I did, you know, and what I'm doing in the context of this? We just can't blindly walk into things. We got to ask ourselves, you know, in America, we have conscientious objectors, for example, say there's an immoral war going on and your beliefs are that you can't believe that that is a righteous war. You know, sometimes you got to do that's an immoral type situation that you would be judged for if you felt that was your faith. Mm-hmm. They'll let you not go, I believe. And
that used to be the thing. That's one of the questions the recruiters ask you now before they even come on in. Is, hey.
But you think during drafts and all that, they're just you know. But I believe America's getting to that point, and at this point in this talk. This is almost like part two of an earlier talk about what happened in Cambodia and the Pink Room and how did the Vietnam and all that, because there's coming a day you're looking at this whole America and the world, but you can just say America right now, is getting into a place that you're not going to get away with just saying, when you stand before God, I was just doing what I was told to do. Because if in fact the Cambodian people stood up to Pol Pot, they would... 25% of their population would not have died. Hmm. But the mass people just kind of go along with what's going on right there. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing today in our own country, our own nation, even though the way it's being done, if it's being done, it's being done. I mean, look at what's happening to parental rights in America. And that's what Pol Pot did. He just removed parental rights. And look at the breakdown of marriage. Look what's happening to marriage in America. And look what's happening to the schools and what's the, you know, it's being taken over. Look at the health care is being taken over by the government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the removal of all morals from society and just kind of releasing anything ungodly, let it go, let it happen. Because according to Pol Pot, when he began to start his communist rule, was there is no God. But it makes me think about this. You're looking at so what he had, it was an idea, a concept Pol Pot did. And he was going to unfold it like Mao did, which was, according to some reports, that former Vice President Gore's favorite book, right?
Yeah.
Was Mao's Little Red Book.
Little Red Book.
So understand, and Mao killed millions of his folks and did a lot what Pol Pot did. But in Daniel chapter 3 in your Bible, this was going on at a time under King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they were... God's folks, the Jews, were with Nebuchadnezzar because God sent them there. They were in rebellion. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant to be able to deal with a rebellious people, the Jews at the time. And so you could say, okay, I'm just going to do everything he tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God sent me here. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what God wanted for me. Mm-hmm. You know, we were rebellious. Now we just have to, even if it's contrary to what God says, we're going to have to do it. And so King Nebuchadnezzar built a system. He had an idea, a concept. He built this huge image, you know, and that's what you'll find. Everybody that moves in this kind of dark genre will end up building some image to themselves and some system, and they want people to bow down to it and worship it. You know, you got Mao's image, you mm-hmm. had Stalin's image, you had Hitler, and you had Hussein, and you had all of them. They've all had monuments to themselves. And so Nebuchadnezzar built one to himself, and he built a golden image, and he told everybody, this is the new rules, this is the new system now, forget about all that other society you used to live in, this is the new society right now. And he summoned everybody, and he told him, he said, listen, everybody's going to need to go out. When you hear this music, I'm going to play kind of some new songs going on, we're going to play some new stuff on the radio or whatever on your iPod, and when you hear this, you've got to bow down. Just bow down. Well, there was these men, three men. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Jews, and they knew, I can't bow down. We can't do this. I mean, they didn't go around going, putting protest signs up and, you know, buying a big billboards going, Nebuchadnezzar's evil, Nebuchadnezzar. They just thought personally, like, we can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this. So they just walked out their own convictions. And while everybody else in Cambodia was bowing down to Pol Pot, for example, you have like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up. What does that mean? It means that in Cambodia, that meant that Pol Pot would have killed them. What did it mean in Mao's China? It means that Mao would have killed them. What does it mean right now in Iraq, in Syria, in this ISIL territory, in Turkey? What does it mean? Oppression. It means you can be harmed.
Mm-hmm.
You can be beheaded. And so when the king says, you know, a leader says, this is where we're going to go. And you can just say, I'm just following orders. You know, I'm not really worshiping this God, even though I'm bowing down and yeah, I'm letting the music lead me into this, and I'm bowing my head before this thing. And so some folks around Nebuchadnezzar says, they started to notice that these three guys aren't doing it. They didn't go. I mean, the only way they knew it because somebody had a spy on their liberty. Somebody had a spy on what they were doing. Somebody, and there's always somebody going to do that. So just get prepared to answer to Nebuchadnezzar, right?
All right.
And so we're talking about just following orders. God did not expect Shadrach, Meshach, and he honored them. This is what God will do when you actually follow God. And sometimes following God means you don't follow men's orders. Period. Just following God does not always mean you're following men's orders. It just doesn't mean that. Because you had a king, which God called his servant, who was over the Jews because they were in rebellion. So he established that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? I'm not going to bow down to this thing. I can't do it, not before God. And so they bring him. The king confronts him just the way that Pol Pot confronted the Cambodians. And you can hear that in the first part of this talk before everybody. And he said, listen, I'll give you another chance. You just need to go ahead and do it. And they just didn't do it. And he said, if you don't do this, I'm going to throw you in this furnace over here. So that not, you know, Pol Pot would behead you and shoot you and kill you and starve you. Mao would do all those things as well. Hitler would burn you and gas you and all that. And Nebuchadnezzar would just burn you in a furnace in front of everybody. So that everybody sees it. That's why that kind of stuff works. And so here they are. I mean, are they going to be like this American son who just told his father, yeah, that's what Nebuchadnezzar told me to do. I'm going to take your home. I'm going to do it. Never even questioning. Is that of God?
Hmm.
Is that a moral thing?
Right?
I mean, should you be doing that? You know?
Hmm.
And so And you have to understand, if you're just following orders, you're going to just answer to God for what you did. You're going to have responsible for that. And so what happens is they don't bow down. They just don't. They can't. How can they do that? And he says, you know, what's up with you? Everybody's doing this. You're messing my new system up. This is year zero, Pol Pot said. And, you know, this is a whole new thing. I'm gonna have to kill you. And they said, you know what? You know, even though you're making this thing seven times hotter and you're making it way worse, our God can deliver us. The God that we serve, the true God that we serve, He can deliver us from this whole situation. He can deliver us from the rice fields of Pol Pot. You know, from the villages of Mao, from the ovens of Hitler, from the remote mountains in Iran. He can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, you have to understand, even if he doesn't, even if you do cut my head off, shoot me, kill me, starve me, you know, torture me, burn me, I'm not going to do it. Mm. I'm just not going to do it. I like what Pastor Kilpatrick said at Church of His Presence. He goes, you know, once I know it's God, when I'm set, I mean, you cut my head off, I ain't moving.
Right.
And that's the way you're supposed to be. There is no like loophole with God. I mean, it's either yes or no. And so he gets his soldiers, the King Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of that organization, that country, gets these three men who said, you're not following orders, so I'm going to burn you and destroy you in front of everybody. They take them and they throw them into this hot furnace. So their consequences are, okay, you're going to be thrown in this fire. They're willing to suffer. Hello, humanity. You know, where are the men? Where are the people that are just going, you know what? I mean, when you see these soldiers and the soldier we showed you in the earlier program from Iowa, my heart just went out to him. He held his place. He was faithful. He just fought and did all this. It's like, wow, what people these are. Anyway, so they, soldiers took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and because they weren't going to do what this man was saying, this leader was saying, because it would be denying God. There's only one God. You can't bow down to 15 gods. A reporter just said on Fox News to Megyn Kelly, a former CIA agent or something like that, she says, why don't you just bow down to the false God? Why don't you just tell them and convert to Islam? Wouldn't that make them happier? Which means to deny your faith. Why don't you just deny your faith, she said. And the report, the former federal agent says, that's everyone's test. Mm. You have to understand, this is the test of us. While we're here on this earth, this test is going to come to you, and you have to be ready to not shock people, not gas people, not behead people, not shoot people, if evil governments are in place doing evil things to evil people. You can't do that and stand before God. You got to be able to stand up. You got to be willing to die, you know, even be imprisoned for your beliefs. And so what happened? They threw them in the fire. I mean, they're figuring, you know, we're dead. And guess what? They tied them up and threw them in the fire. And as soon as they got into the fire, all the ropes came off. And they're watching them walk around in the fire. These men who didn't bow down, who didn't just follow orders, you know what I'm saying? They didn't just do what everybody was doing. They didn't go along with the crowd. They did what was right before God. And now they're walking around in the fire. Nobody's ever walked around in the seven times hot fire, even the one time hot fire. And they looked around, and there was a fourth man in the fire with them. And the fourth man, he said, looks like the Son of God. Jesus showed up in this fire with these men who did not just follow orders. We have to understand and rethink things again. If your school system's taking your children away from God, take your children away from the school system. If your government and your local government is ungodly, vote in godly government. Don't just keep going in the wrong direction. If people are telling you, you can't pray, you can't sing, you can't worship God, you can't gather, sing, worship God, do everything, preach the gospel. Even if it costs you your life, even if they throw you in the furnace, even if Pol Pot sends you to his rice fields or takes off your head, we have to understand, when we answer before the throne room of God individually, the ones that we said we were just following their orders ain't going to be there. No witnesses, no suspects. We answer alone before God. It's time for you to say, I'm following Jesus' orders. I'm following his commands. Even if it means my death, he's in charge.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye
Guy. The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred. Okay, okay.
I know, isn't it amazing? Help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah, yeah, not a problem.
Well,
mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
with
you.
We're just blowing your mind. Can we get, it's like,
Till,
yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right, right. I forgot you were his student, yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar. Remember?
It was Hagar. No. Didn't she come from the... Anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say it.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio. We're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote.
Let's
very serious,
get in the serious mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I do want to say I appreciate the according to the Alan Combs show, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. I don't know how much time we have to be able to listen to it, but 120 scholars, Islamic scholars, got together, and I believe they're from around the world, but I know they're definitely from CARE, and which is the Council on American Islamic Relations. And they wrote a scholarly letter to ISIS and ISIL denouncing what they're doing. Because, you know, we've talked about, you heard us talk about on the air, it's like, and Bridget, you know, talks about the silent majority is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where are the Muslims standing up and saying that what these guys are doing in ISIS is wrong, it needs to be renounced? And they did denounce it. And we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. I want to play just a little bit of McCombs' program here on Fox News as he's talking to them. Listen up.
I'm Alan Combs. I want to welcome Nihat Awad. He's Executive Director of the Council of American Islamic Relations, also known as CARE. And Nihat, you have written or participated in a letter to the head of ISIS, as I understand it, explaining point by point, in fact, refuting point by point, their so-called explanation of Islam and their use of your religion for the worst possible means. Tell us about what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Anil, for having me.
Yes, sir.
We've written this letter, and I had the honor to coordinate the formal launch of this letter in Washington, D.C. The letter is basically a draft by over 100 religious scholars from around the Muslim world, grand muftis, leaders of their communities that are well-respected and well-known in their countries. Basically, the letter is about 28 pages, tackling 24 points.
In Arabic.
In Arabic, but also there is a very accurate translation in English, and now I think the German version of the letter has been released. So the 24 points tackling all the issues that ISIS has used to convince recruiting members of their gang from different countries, especially the neighboring countries. And they have used, of course, religious texts to convince people around them that they have legitimacy in conducting war the way they are doing it, by killing innocent people, harming minorities. And basically we say in the letter that he, the leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, and his soldiers are violating every spirit, every rule in the Islamic religion, whether in the Quran, the Muslim revealed text, or the tradition of the Prophet.
And as I understand, you quote classic religious texts that have been misinterpreted. What, for example, are some of the things in the Quran that you mentioned that have been misinterpreted by people?
Well, the most important one, and I'm just going to give you a quick order. No one is eligible to give fatwa or religious ruling or verdict except if she or he is highly educated and qualified in the sciences of Islam, the Arabic language, the Quran, the Hadith, which is the prophetic tradition, to be aware of the entire text in the Quran and the reason and circumstances in which the verses were revealed, and you cannot obtain or derive any ruling unless you know all the matters related to it. So you have to be intelligent, you have to be smart, you have to be capable of, it's like, you know, being a judge in the United States. You have to have a degree, and you have to pass certain tests. The most important thing after that, of course, the sanctity of human life. The taking of an innocent life in the Quran, nowhere else you can see that, is equivalent to the taking of the entire mankind. And the saving of one human life is equivalent to the saving of entire mankind. So ISIS and its soldiers have been killing people left and right without any due process, without any respect. And of course, you know, killing emissaries or ambassadors, and hence killing...
and beheading, you know, right?
Journalists and aid workers. It is strictly prohibited in Islam.
Right.
And there is no justification, and there is no exceptional so-called circumstances to it.
The other thing you point out in this letter, which I think is extremely important, is that a caliphate has not been established and cannot be established unless there's complete agreement from the entire Muslim community.
Exactly. And so to have like a few thousand people appointing themselves as ruler of the Muslim world over 100.5 billion people is nothing short than circular logic and just, you know, tyranny.
There's only 7 billion people on the face of the earth, so there's not 100 billion folks. But understand that I am just thankful for these Muslim scholars to stand up and denounce. They denounced ISIS and ISIL, you know, where some people have given it legitimacy. And although you can see, you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and look about Islam, that, and we're going to make this all available for you, and you can find out more on the Alan Combs show. But that the Quran does say these things. The Quran does say to either convert, to put in servitude, or to smite the neck of the unbeliever. That's what it says to do. You could say to Pol Pot in Cambodia, you could say, well,
you know, he's just got his own thing. But the Cambodian people would be saying, but he's over us, right, and he's killing us. He's killed 25% of us. And so so this evil is being done in the name of Islam, being done in the name of Muhammad, and through texts that they're pulling out, they'd be able to say what they're doing and declaring a caliphate. And so either way, I'm just thankful that there's no longer the silent majority, that 120 scholars in these different languages, they published this letter, and they sent it to ISIS, you know, renouncing it. And that's very important, because there is a lot of peaceful Muslims, majority of them, in the world and America. But now they're standing up like this, mm-hmm. that now all together we can just say, you know, this is evil, that's mm-hmm. not good, and that we should love our fellow man. And if that's your, if that's the religion you practice, that's you. But I follow Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the only way to God. And he loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. You want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today is the day you can do that. We shared our stories at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You got to meet him. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Just talking to my father, mm-hmm. and he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, mm-hmm. and you know, move them into the next level of technology,
right?
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to. To hear my mother, we just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store. And downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlight's right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application, has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are
you know, sowing into this ministry and giving that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.